Well, good morning. Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we've got an action-packed show for you today. Going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile and motorsports. Boy, a lot to cover today. We've got many upcoming motorsports opportunities here in the Valley of the Sun here in the next 30 days. So we'll talk about NHRA drag racing as well as NASCAR coming to town. Got a nice article about John Andretti. His funeral service was this week, and we'll catch you up a little bit. We also talked a little bit about that as well. Some interesting things going on in the world of law enforcement. We'll talk a little bit about that. Some sad news about a state trooper. Of course, we'll talk gas prices. And then, of course, it wouldn't be The Car Show without a little car talk. So you know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on The Car Show. Well, last week we talked about the death of John Andretti from cancer, and the whole motorsports world has been reaching out, and this is the headline from the Indianapolis Star. John Andretti remembered as a visionary racer who put family, friends, and even strangers above all else. So what the question is, what would John do? Jeff Burton asked a crowd of 100 who sat silent listening to the former NASCAR driver describe the life and legacy of a man whose last name made him instantly famous, but also earned the adoration of family, friends, and whoever else met him by living a unique life with a sense of direction. Now, John Andretti, who died on January 30th after a long and public bout with colon cancer, lived his 56 years driven by an unyielding passion for the things he loved, family, friendship, racing, and stepping confidently into the unknown. All that knew him who gathered at his memorial service on Thursday at St. Peter's and Paul Cathedral in Indianapolis to honor him as a father, a husband, a racer, and as a trailblazer. Now, John Andretti sold school photos as well as icicles to family's next-door neighbors. The entrepreneurial spirit kept him meddling with carts over long days and nights with his father, Aldo. But even while being baptized into the world of auto racing at a young age, Andretti always had a backup plan in mind. Now, while whisking back and forth across the Midwest on weekends to speed around dirt tracks, Andretti maintained the wits of an investment banker with a competitive drive that fueled him in everything he did. Now, toward the end of every semester in college, he would call his sister, Carolyn, to compare GPAs. Quote, over time, I knew not to answer first because no matter what I did, he was always higher, as she said with a nice burst of laughter. Their last text exchange proved that even in his final days, Andretti never lost that spirit. John, I love you so much. Carolyn, I love you more. John, I am pretty lovable, and I do have a bigger heart to help people. Okay, you win. I think it's the only time he ever let me win, said Carolyn. Now, those moments were rare, especially for those who knew Andretti his best. His legendary uncle, Mario Andretti, holds into the best and worst memories of racing, both which are centered on John. In 1991, John finished second in the Milwaukee Mile in an IndyCar race sandwiched between Mario and John's cousin, Michael. But in a separate race at Nazareth Speedway, Mario remembers starting in the second row and John right behind him, and then swerving to the outside, maneuvering around a sputtering competitor. Quote, I knew he was on the outside, too. I had him in my mirror. I thought he'd back off, but he didn't, said the elder Andretti. I thought at the end of the race he'd come over and punch me in the nose, but he didn't. He never even mentioned it. So only recently did we talk about it, and we laughed it off. Oh, yeah, I remember that. So all a part of the family. Soon after that, Andretti would become the first driver to compete in the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600, two racing events all in the same day, a feat only a handful of drivers have ever attempted, and even fewer have completed. Now, that follows the 1993 season, where, according to Mario, John Andretti competed in IMSA, NASCAR, IndyCar, and NHRA, the only driver to ever compile such a diverse resume in a single calendar year. So IMSA is sports cars, NHRA is drag racing, obviously, IndyCars is IndyCars, and NASCAR is stock cars. Now, John Andretti made a varied racing pursuits possible with a combination of determination and loyalty. Leading up to the inaugural Brickyard 400, Andretti had an acumen to make the race, but not the engine power. And a last-ditch effort with an engine leased from Richard Childress for $25,000, he placed his car in 28th position among more than 70 competitors. And there was also one year during 500 practice for the Indy 500 when there was a widening speed gap between the fields. Most quick drivers would relish to have that advantage. But as Tony Stewart told Mario Andretti, quote, I remember John getting into six or seven different cars to help them get up to speed. John pushed through and showed what could be done in those cars. It took John to show those guys what could be done. Now, during a NASCAR career that spanned more than a decade, Andretti's most successful stint came driving with Richard Petty. Now, a friend of his, Jeff Stoops, remember getting calls from John season after season, detailing lucrative offers from teams around the paddock. But John always wanted to make it happen with Petty, whom he won two races with, his only victorious finishes in NASCAR. Quote, I know the last name was Andretti, but to our family, he became a Petty. And that's from Richard Petty in a message to Mario. To a fault, Andretti put others above himself, whether it was through the hours he devoted to becoming a pivotal fundraising face for Riley's Children's Hospital in Indianapolis, or the fight against cancer that eventually took his life. It was his passion for his son's Jared's racing career that distracted him from taking a preventative test for the disease. But in his final years, he used his own fight to raise awareness so others wouldn't suffer the same fate. Hashtag Check It for Andretti became a national campaign with complete strangers who would come up and thank Andretti and his family members for the efforts that they did to help people avoid colon cancer. There will always be a number put on the lives of his visibility helped save, but the campaign's impact was apparent Thursday at the cathedral. Jeff Burton asked many mourners, hey, how many here got checked because of John Andretti? More than a dozen hands shot up. Now, on Thursday morning, the legendary NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. tweeted to his nearly 2.5 million followers, just finished my first colonoscopy. I don't have to go back for 10 years. Hashtag 45 years old. Hashtag check it for Andretti. Now, that type of openness hardly exists before Andretti tackled this disease head on. And Burton urged the fight to continue. Who of you will not let this stop? Because John Andretti put it out there for everybody. We cannot let this initiative stop, Burton said, fighting through the tears. If you're here today, he did something for you. Hundreds of hands shot toward the ceiling. Quote, we love and miss you, John, and that's from Carolyn, and we know you're already in heaven negotiating with God to look after all of us. Well, a very special man, John Andretti, laid to rest this week. And as you can hear from those special words, he was well thought by many folks. And we're going to miss you, John. Thanks for everything that you did. Well, let's talk a little drag racing. Before you know it, actually, in a couple weeks, NHRA Drag Racing is going to be in town here for the Arizona Nationals. But NHRA Drag Racing kicks off this weekend with the wonderful Lucas Oil Winter Nationals in Pomona, California. And the finals will be Sunday afternoon. That says from 5 to 8. So I'm assuming this is probably Eastern time. So I'm going to guesstimate probably 3 o'clock. You can tune into that on Fox Sports 1 if you want to catch some NHRA drag racing. And then, before you know it, they will be here in Phoenix. And that is going to be Friday, February 21st through Sunday, February 23rd. And that'll also be on Fox Sports 1 if you can't make it out to the racetrack to catch it live. If you want some more information about how to get tickets and more details on when the festivities start, you can go to NHRA.com and then plug in the Arizona Nationals as one of the choices when you're looking at the schedule itself. So it should be a blast. Looking forward to heading out to that as well. Now let's talk a little bit NASCAR and talk about the fact that NASCAR is coming to town here rather shortly as well. All right, so we got drag racing coming up on February 21st. Then a couple weeks later, NASCAR hits town, and they'll be here on Friday, March the 6th, 7th, and the 8th, and should be a great time. Head out to Phoenix, Raceway. They dropped the international part of there, but it's Phoenix Raceway. You can catch some NASCAR stock car action. And, well, you'll see all your favorite NASCAR stars will be out here. And you have three different series running that weekend. And tickets start just as little as $25 to come out on Friday. So mark your calendars, check it out, and come out and hang out at the racetrack and check some live motorsports that's going to be happening out at Phoenix Raceway on March 6th, 7th, and 8th. And speaking of NASCAR, don't forget that the Daytona 500 is coming up. That'll be on February 16th, and qualifications for the pole for Daytona is going to be this afternoon. And then they'll also have the other support races will be next week as well. So don't forget, Daytona 500 coming up on February 16th. Well, from the pages of Car and Driver magazine, the headline reads, "The United Kingdom moves to end the sale of all non-electric cars by 2035. This is 5 years earlier than a previous proposal. It now includes gasoline, diesels, hybrids, and even plug-in cars." So Britain has never used the expression gearhead for those with a passion of cars, preferring to call themselves petrol heads. Now, that term isn't going to be applicable in the nation's enthusiasts anymore. The British government has announced plans to bring forward an outright ban on the sale of all gasoline and diesel-powered passenger cars and even hybrids just 15 years from now. Now, like several other European countries, the United Kingdom has already committed to phase out the sale of gasoline and diesel by 2040. But the new plan will bring that date forward by 5 years and would also add hybrids to the banned list. This is according to Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and he did this at the launch of the COP26 conference on climate change in Glasgow, Scotland. If put into law, it will set the UK on a track to be the first large nation to officially end internal combustion engine car and vehicle sales. Now, the previous target of 2040 would have allowed the continued sales of plug-in hybrids, but the new proposal is to exclude those. And if adopted, it would take Britain far beyond the restrictions planned by other countries. Now, the move is in part the UK's government target to become a net zero carbon emitter by 2050. Predictably, not everybody's happy with the idea. The country's automotive industry, the trade body, Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, has questioned whether this is even possible to install enough charging stations and infrastructure in its time. Now, its boss, Mike Hawes, accused the country's government, in another fine expression, of having moved the goalposts. Now, a far smaller than the U.S., the U.K.'s car market is still one of the largest in Europe, with 2.3 million passenger cars registered last year, and only 37,000 of those were full electric vehicles. So we'll see what happens with the UK as they are trying to become the first nation to totally ban the sale of internal combustion engines, and they're going to try to very, very quickly. Well, from the pages of Automotive News, some collateral damage when it comes to the coronavirus. Hyundai halts Korean production because the coronavirus is providing a parts shortage. This is from Seoul, South Korea. Hyundai Motor said it will suspend production in South Korea, its biggest manufacturing base, becoming the first major automaker to be outside of China due to the disruption of the supply of parts from the coronavirus outbreak. Hyundai has 7 factories in South Korea catering to local markets as well as U.S., European, Middle East, and other countries. Hyundai's production at the home accounts for about 40% of its global output. The production suspension follows a shortage of wiring harnesses, which Hyundai sources mainly from China. There are 2 major suppliers. They both plan to resume production at their Chinese factories after February 9th. Quote, "We are in an emergency situation." Now, Hyundai's reliance on China has grown sharply as it built a huge production capacity in the country that added this several years ago. South Korean part makers followed and built their own facilities along with Hyundai. South Korea imported $1.5 billion worth of auto parts from China in 2019. So the virus that is attacking China right now, the coronavirus, is impacting auto sales now because Hyundai can't get enough parts in order to manufacture their cars. Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I had some sad news regarding a State Trooper. The headline reads, a Florida trooper stopped to help a motorist with a broken down car, and the man killed him. And this is from Florida. A veteran Florida state trooper was fatally shot on Interstate 95 after pulling over to assist a disabled vehicle, police said. A passing off-duty police officer from another jurisdiction witnessed the shooting and then killed the suspect, according to Gene Spaulding, the director of Florida Highway Patrol. The suspect was later identified as Franklin Reed III. The highway was shut down for several hours on Wednesday as investigators processed the scene, which unfolded on the shoulder of the northbound lane about 6 miles west of Palm City. Trooper Joseph Bullock, who spent 19 years on the highway patrol, saw what he thought was someone having car trouble at 10:15 a.m. in the morning. He pulled over to help, and then the suspect, who was with the disabled vehicle, shot him, resulting in fatal injuries. A Riviera Beach police officer who was passing by engaged the suspect, fatally shooting him. Riviera police officer was not injured. Quote, our troopers, they worked closely with the state troopers. They're distraught. They're very upset. It's like losing a member of the family. The highway patrol officer did not divulge if Reed was alone, but he did anticipate hunting for any additional perpetrators that could come from this. So, very sad news. A Florida state trooper doing the right thing, being a good Samaritan, trying to help someone, and he loses his life. All right, in the world of weird auto news, Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade gets added excitement from a car chase. Well, two people are in police custody as they drove onto the parade route early Wednesday, where thousands of people had lined up to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs' victory in the Super Bowl. No injuries were reported in the incident, which police said took place at 8:12 a.m. local time, when a suspect drove what looks like a mid-aughts Ford Taurus through a barrier on the north side of the parade route in downtown Kansas City. Officers from Clay County Sheriff's Department deployed stop sticks to flatten the vehicle's tires, but the driver continued down the parade route. Officers eventually used a tactical intervention known as a pit maneuver to stop the vehicle and apprehend the suspects. Well, the driver is under investigation for impairment, according to Kansas City Police Department wrote in a statement released on Twitter. A search of the vehicle revealed no weapons, and there were no indications of terrorist activity, but police do not know what the suspect's motives at the time were. The scheduled time for the rally and the parade was at 11:30 a.m., so it did not impact the parade itself. Just people lined up on the parade route. People do crazy things, don't they? I guess I want to be in the Super Bowl parade, so I'm going to drive my vehicle down the parade route. Weird, weird, weird. All right, continuing with the pages of weird and unusual automotive news. Headline from Motor Trend says, this 2007 Nissan Frontier pickup truck has racked up 1 million miles running deliveries in Chicago. Big question is, how did it avoid the rust? Well, Nissan is hosting Brian Murphy, the owner of a 2007 Nissan Frontier, at the 2020 Chicago Auto Show this week. Who's seemingly a random customer? No. Well, Brian's truck just rolled over 1 million miles in January. Well, the digital odometer quit at 99,999 miles, but Nissan verified the mileage using the trip odometer. That's a feat that got him tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, obviously. Any automaker would be thrilled to put such an example of their durability and longevity on display. Honda's done it. So has Volvo. And, oh, by the way, Hyundai, too. Well, this Frontier is a cool spec, too, especially for being local to Chicago, where it's obviously cold, wet, and snows a lot of times during the year. It's a King Cab XE two-wheel drive. Yeah, it's not even front-wheel drive. Frontier's base 2.5-liter four-cylinder engine. Get this, a five-speed manual transmission. And Brian uses the truck to make deliveries, hence why he was able to put on so many miles on this pickup truck in a very relatively short time period. Now, according to Nissan, Brian drove his Frontier about 300 to 400 miles per day in 12 to 14-hour days. That's roughly 77,000 miles per year. Billed as Chicago's most dependable delivery driver, Brian's an old-school guy, never using GPS to find his way around the city. And something that might be such of a shock to any Chicagoan, Brian is also has a perfect driving record, free of any moving violations. Given how the city has been littered with trigger-happy speed and red light cameras since the Frontier was purchased, your native Chicago, Chicagoans are gobsmacked. Now, the Frontier didn't spend much time off the road either in the past 13 years. Its owner says he changes the oil every 10,000 miles. He replaced the original clutch at 800,000 miles. Again, he must be the gentlest driver on the planet, given the stop-go urban driving places and how that wears out clutches. He preemptively changed the timing chain at 700,000 miles, the alternator and the radiator swapped out at 450,000 miles, and shortly after that, Brian replaced the driver's seat. The engine and the transmission are original, and we couldn't even spot a single fleck of anything resembling any rust to this red painted body. Again, anyone familiar with the upper Midwest and Chicago in particular, you know, Brian might start to sound like some kind of vehicle age-defying wizard. There's also a heartwarming tale of vehicular servitude, as this vehicle has proudly gone over 1 million miles. Folks, that is incredible. And I'm looking at pictures of this vehicle with Brian smiling. It's a good-looking little pickup truck. It's got a little cap on it, so it performs like a little SUV. And I tell you, that's amazing. Over 1 million miles on a little Nissan pickup truck. Congratulations, Brian, and congratulations to Nissan for building such an outstanding vehicle. All right, it's time to talk gas prices with our friends at GasBuddy.com. All right, well, the cheapest gas back in Lupton, I'm still not sure how to pronounce that, near Tucson, $2.19 at Speedy Truck Stop, and that's on Grant near I-40. The Costco's in Tucson, $2.25 a gallon, as well as Sam's Club and multiple Circle K's, Pilot Stations, etc. So right now, plenty of cheap gas in the Tucson area, less than $2.30. All right, let's see what's going on here in Metro Phoenix. I'm going to guess $2.75 is our least expensive price right now. Let's see how close I am. Well, I am way off the mark in this situation. Normally, I'm a little bit better than this. How about $2.65 at the Arco station at 43rd Avenue in McDowell? Costco at $2.69. That's on Grand Avenue, the one on 43rd Avenue and Roosevelt. Arco station at $2.69. Costco on Montebello near 17th Avenue at $2.71. Fry's, wow, the Fry's station at McDowell and 43rd Avenue at $2.73. So right now you should find plenty of places to get gas under $2.80 in Metro Phoenix. All right, let's see how cheap gas has gotten with our friends down in Yuma. Well, gas looks really cheap in Yuma as well. How about this, folks? $2.37 at Arco stations in Yuma. Sam's Club at $2.37. Barron Fuel at $2.56. The Fry's at $2.57. This is all in Yuma. All right, let's see what's going on up north in Flagstaff. All right, for our friends up north, you can get gas for $2.50 at Sam's Club in Flagstaff, Speedy Car Washes and Fuel on Milton Road at $2.55, Maverick Stations at $2.57, Speedways at $2.57 as well. So easily, lots of gas under $2.65. Also something if you've thought about, if you've missed any programs here on Sun Sounds, did you know this? You can listen to it whenever you want by getting it on demand. All you need to do is go to sunsounds.org and click the broadcast info and audio button. All right, folks, it's that time again. It's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I have a question. Do Prius owners really think they need to set the slow pace for everyone else? Very often at the head of a slow-moving vehicle line is a Prius, or one will pull out in front of another car and then slow down every car behind it. Is it because the car can't accelerate, or is it because the owners have a particular need to feel that they're going to try to control others in their vehicles? And that's from Susan. Well, I don't think it's either one, Susan. Now, according to a very famous researcher, we'll call him Dr. David Giovanni. We also call him Dr. Joey Belloni. He once explained to us that humans and organizations achieve what they measure. So, for instance, if you want to lose some weight, what do you do? Well, you might cut out sweets, drink water instead of soda, start to exercise. Yeah, you know what we're talking about. I mean, we're not talking about meat. Now, but then you'd get a scale. And if the number on the scale was lower than the week before, you'd probably keep doing those activities that you thought were working. So you achieve what you measure. Now, who buys a Toyota Prius? Let's think about this. Could it be someone who wants to get better gas mileage than the rest of us mortals? And guess what? They've got a big screen on the Prius dashboard. And what does it do? Wait for it. It measures mileage constantly. So while watching those numbers change on the screen, Prius drivers learn very quickly by accelerating very gently, they can coax their mileage up from 53.8 to 54.1. And you know what that does? That makes them feel good. And they learn to feather that gas pedal, and it takes about 25 seconds now to get from 0 to 60 while you're cursing at them through your windshield. So the reality is, it's not that a Prius can't accelerate. It accelerates pretty much like any other car when you put your foot down on it. But, and it's not that they need to feel controlling, but it's the pursuit of personal goals of maximizing their gas mileage. And because they care about it, what are they doing? Yes, you're right. They're constantly measuring their gas mileage. Now, likewise, if you measured your blood pressure, Susan, you'd probably find it goes up when you're what? That's right, stuck behind a Prius. Now, if you took a few deep breaths and said to yourself, how nice. There's a person who cares about the planet and is making the world a better place by wasting less fuel. You know what happened? No, you'd see your blood pressure go down. Then you'd throw the blood pressure monitor out the window as you pass the Prius with a few choice hand gestures. Good luck in your driving. Yeah, as a family who owns a Prius, my wife drives a Prius, and it does make you want to pay more attention to your gas mileage because it does have those features where you can constantly see what kind of gas mileage you're getting in the vehicle. And it does get great gas mileage. I mean, it's anywhere from 45 to 50 miles per gallon when we're on the highway. I asked my wife, what's the gas mileage? And she goes, I don't know. It's just really good. Now, someone like me who drives a pickup truck, it's a Toyota as well, but it's not a fuel miser. And I work really hard, folks, to get 20 miles per gallon out of my six-cylinder pickup truck. That weighs an awful lot more. Yeah. Also could be my lead foot, too. So, all right, folks. Well, that's all the time we have for the Car Show today. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday. And you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.